Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here over the Just Jesus Radio Network. Oh, it's a real blessing to be with you again. And I praise the Lord for allowing me to be a part of His ministry. I'm going to get right into this message now because it's a little bit lengthy and I did part one last week. So this is part two. The name of the message is When Grace Kicked In. Okay? So let's get right to it. Oh, yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Okay. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will rather, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do you hear that, Christian? Do you hear that? Temptation is one of our greatest enemies, is it not? And we need a way to escape. All we have to do is turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? And what happened at Calvary? He'll give you the strength. Oh, yes, He'll give you the strength to get rid of it, to conquer it, to get it out of the way. You know, the subject I'm kind of delving into today, you might say, is something that's not a pleasant subject to talk about at all, even at the best of times, if there is such a thing as the best of times, concerning such a subject. I guess I said that two ways, didn't I? Back and forth. Oh, anyway. My friends, it's called suicidal thoughts. Suicidal. That's what I'm talking about. When grace kicked in and you had suicidal thoughts. Oh, you know, suicidal thoughts are really, they're selfish thoughts. If you commit suicide, then you have shortchanged your ministry with God. Did you know that? I mean, if you're a Christian, a true Christian, first of all, you will not commit suicide. But if you're not, and you think, well, I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to commit suicide and get out of here right now. You're only fooling yourself. You're not going anywhere except where you don't want to go. And that's where the devil dwells. Oh, yes. Suicidal thoughts, my friends, are selfish thoughts. You can commit suicide. If you rather commit suicide, then you have shortchanged your ministry with God. You have. If you commit suicide, not only are you sinning against God, but you are responsible to every member of your family and friends for leading them into believing the love and power of Almighty God. Now, many more will go to hell because you have put doubt in their minds about heaven. If you claim to be a Christian, you commit suicide, they're going to say, "What's going on here? I'm confused." You know, in suicide you kill the body, but you have destroyed the faith of many others. Yes, many others. Please understand, we are not talking about the ill-minded who cannot know about God. For I believe that these who are not capable of the knowledge of God are exempt from God's eternal damnation. I believe that with all my heart. Yes, I do. Oh, it's a terrible situation. Nothing seems to be working. I've been there. I wasn't even saved at the time. My friends, we have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Even Bible saints of old, great men of God, wanted to die, wanted God to strike them dead, like Elijah in 1 Kings, went into the wilderness and sat under a juniper tree and asked the Lord to kill him. And what about Job? Job wished he were dead. And believe me, he had plenty of good reasons when you consider what happened to him. And then there was poor Jonah. Jonah was another suicidal candidate. And greatest of all, we have our precious Jesus, our great high priest. Yet he felt the infirmities and temptations of all of us. He knows our every feeling, our every hurt and pain. He knows. He didn't commit suicide, though. No. He did what God the Father would have him do. He didn't allow himself to be killed. He just believed that God the Father had no alternative but to shed his precious blood, the blood of his Son, who was without sin, so that we, the sinners of this world, could find an entrance way into heaven. You see, giving up your life to save others is not suicide. It's sacrifice. There is a difference. Giving up your life to please yourself is not a sacrifice. It is suicide. That, yes, it is. It is indeed. I've listed three main reasons why I believe people commit suicide. One, sickness. Loss of one's faculties, their mind, through a sudden illness, stress or accident. Then there's cowardice, unbelief or uncertain belief in the higher power of a mighty God. And thirdly, pride. Pride. Pride so intense that one cannot bear any sort of humiliation. The last two I have no problem with. The first one, well, I had to wrestle ever so briefly with it. Finally, I concluded that if any of the three listed were beyond your control and God had not intervened, then you were not His child to begin with. Don't stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and then kill yourself. That ain't going to work. Because you're not only lying to God, you're lying to yourself. If you are truly, truly a child of the King, just like Elijah and David and Job, then give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. He promised never, never to leave you nor forsake you. Never, never. A number of years ago, in separate parts of the universe, a group of the world's most elite business tycoons met at a Chicago hotel. I won't give you all their names, I'll just mention one or two here. Among them were the president of the largest independent steel company, Charles Schwab. Oh, yes, he had it all. Or at least he thought he did. Men like these, you know, Richard Whitney, include him too, Richard Whitney, president of New York Stock Exchange. You know, and the list goes on and on. Like I said, I don't want to delve too deep into this here because I don't know their hearts. I never did. Men like these, though, had everything that the world could offer. They had learned how to be successful. But had any of them learned? I ask this now as a question. Had any of these important men learned how to obtain eternal life? Had they? I must wonder. Do you wonder too? Well, I think we should all wonder. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8:36. Huh? It's been over a quarter of a century since I wanted to throw in the proverbial towel, as it were. Over a quarter of a century. But as you can hear, I wasn't successful. I wasn't, and I'm glad, because I wasn't saved. It was like everything else in my life. I bungled it, but I'm so glad I did. In the late 50s, in early 60s, it was a young soldier. That was me. I was a young soldier, serving in post-war Germany. And like most single servicemen at the time, and not knowing the Lord. I had plenty of time for drinking and partying, carrying on and hoopla, and what better place to do it than in good old Europe? Oh, yes. And like many soldiers over there at that time, I met a girl. She was pregnant with another soldier's child. When he found out about it, he left her high and dry and took off back to Canada. Wow. The mother was poverty-stricken and even considered suicide. You see, she was hoping that he was going to marry her, take her back home to Canada. Didn't turn out that way. My concern for her and the child, well, it had become overwhelming. I had seen so many fatherless kids while growing up, and now, in a strange part of the world, I did what so many others were doing at that time. I married the child's mother. I gave the child a father. And no one was to know the difference till many years later, after I had drunk my share of the world's booze. I was never a wife beater, but I was an abused husband. Oh, yeah. Works both ways, ladies. Once the children were grown and out on their own, I had come to the end of the line. I had no more purpose anymore. It was then I contemplated suicide. Oh, yes, I did. The method I chose, well, it didn't work. But before I could find another way to end my suffering, I did something I had never done before in my life. I cried out to the Lord Jesus for His help. I cried out to the Lord Jesus. You know, back then, those post-war years left an aftermath that can only be outdone by the Great Tribulation. It did. I'm so glad I don't have to go through it. There were multitudes of suicides during this time. Estimates show that 2, maybe 3 out of every 10 young women attempted or succeeded in committing suicide in post-war Germany. The method most commonly used was to cut their own wrists, bleed to death. I learned much about one's vulnerability to suicide than any doctor or book could ever reveal, simply by knowing the situation firsthand, right there in post-war Germany. By being there among them, seeing their hurt, feeling their suffering. Did you know that happy people never commit suicide? No. You see, before a person can bring an end to their life, they must become void of a reason for living. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Perhaps you've all heard of the young rich man who left a suicide note for his rich parents. It read, "You gave me everything to live with, but nothing to live for." Or how about the rich man who rose up in the middle of the night and left a suicide note thanking his wife and his family for everything a man could ever want. He ended his life because there was nothing else in the world he could ever want. Was that happiness? And how about the preacher who did everything he could to please God? He was the best husband, the best father, and the ideal pastor. But he had no fellowship with God. All three had one common thread at the moment of death. They didn't really know God. They didn't really know God. Why are hundreds of pastors throughout North America leaving the ministry or retiring? They don't really know God. They don't. They thought they did. Perhaps they really wanted to. Why or how do preachers retire from serving God? In what they say and what they are called to do. Is it possible to retire on God? Is it? I don't think so. Every person in the Bible that is called to serve never took an early retirement. Did you know that? What if Adam and Eve had put themselves out to pasture after having Cain and Abel? What if young David had gone into retirement after he slew Goliath? Huh? What if Elijah threw in the towel before God was through with him, or Enoch, or Abraham? What if Noah had thrown down his hammer and gave up the ship? What about the apostles? What about Jesus? Dearly beloved, that day we give ourselves over to Jesus Christ and become one of His, then we are committed to His service without retirement. Without retirement. Do you understand? Do you? You do not retire God. He retires you. Recent surveys indicate that between 20 and 30 teens a day in North America, in North America alone, commit suicide. Suicide is totally contrary to the Word of God. John 10:10 tells us, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is that Jesus saying, commit suicide and I'll take you up? No. Come on to me, that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. Because of the increase of mental and physical abuse in many homes today, even if you are an A-plus student, if Christ is not in your heart, then He is not in your life. He's not. Loneliness will lead to unbelief and will cause people to end their lives. To end their lives. Take the pastor, for example, who does anything and everything for the cause of Christ, but yet suffers from intense spiritual loneliness. Is that possible? Yes. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. The saddest verse in the Bible. I'm going to read that once more. Please listen carefully. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. He will not hear. Wow. You know, loneliness is a part of life. I think we all understand that. There's always a time in our lives when we feel that there's nobody around that we can lean on. Or our friends have left us for somebody else or something else. These are loneliness. Loneliness that everyone must share and go through. Even Jesus, when He was dying on the cross, cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why hast Thou forsaken me? He said to His Father. You think He wasn't lonely? Huh? Of course, there were two thieves on crosses akin to Him. But they were not Jesus. except for one who gave his dying life over to Christ, right there on the cross. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, I say unto you, this day thou shalt be with me in glory. Wow! How is it with you? My friends, the loneliness ends when you belong to Jesus. For he sticketh closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. That's pretty close. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen carefully to this next part. He who is filled with the fullness of God is freed from the emptiness of life. You got that? He who is filled with the fullness of God is freed from the emptiness of life. Draw close to God. He will draw close to you. Yes, he will. He will draw close to you. Today's psychologists, they try to link many of our actions and reactions directly to our self-esteem, the way we feel about ourselves. That's pride. That's pride. That's what God hates most, a proud look. The world says, love self first. God says, put others first. Do not allow others to judge your self-worth. Let the doctor, Dr. Jesus, be the judge of that. Do not allow others to judge your self-worth. Give it to Jesus. He is the great physician. Yes, he is the great physician. You know, sometimes when delivering a message such as this, when grace kicked in, you know, you must wonder, I know at least I do, that from day to day in my daily prayers, I pray not only for help to mine own self from above, but for salvation to others. I think of my family. I think of my friends. I think of my enemies. I think of all and ask collectively for salvation, that God will not close the door. God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray unceasingly. Unceasingly means continuously. Do you pray unceasingly or just when things go awry in your life? If everything's running smooth, like the rich man who has an abundance, and everything is just moving right along the way he wanted it to, he doesn't need God, so he thinks. But when everything falls apart, and it does, I'm not saying to all, but it does fall apart, and there's no one walking the face of this earth who can give you the comfort that Jesus Christ can. Did you know that? So why? Why not? Oh yes, let your cup runneth over. That's not a sin. But give it over to Christ. Give it over to the cross. Because your new life that you will have in glory is only made possible through what Jesus the Christ did on Calvary's cross. You don't know what love is if you think you do until you've given yourself over to Jesus Christ. Oh, He knows all about you anyway. He knows who will come and who will not. He knows when His grace will kick in with you, or if it will not even move you. He knows. Did you know that God knew right from the beginning who would and who wouldn't? And you might say, well, if God knew, probably I wasn't one He knew that would. So, I haven't got a chance of going to heaven. No, that's not what I mean at all. God knows your heart. God knows your every thought. Yes, He does. And He knew you would sin. And that's why He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to pay for those sins. To give you every opportunity while you're still walking the face of the earth to give your life over to Him. He's waiting to hear you call on Him. He's not turning His back on you. You're turning your back on Him. Think about it, sinner. Think about it. His grace is sufficient. All you have to do is believe. Believe. My friends, I want to thank you for listening today to this message. And I pray that it will take lodging in your needy heart. And to those who will tell about it, please, if you haven't already, turn to Jesus while He's still waiting for you. For I ask it in His wonderful and precious holy name. Amen.